Six Figure Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I am John Calloway.
I am Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
With us today is John Smith. John is a contract solutions architect with special focus on Microsoft, .NET, Azure. His new book, Entity Framework Core in Action, is available for pre-order from Manning Publications. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
So before we get started and kind of dig into the meat of what we're going to talk about today, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got started in the industry?
Yes, I've been going a while for in the industry. I started, the main work I did was with a company called Quantel, and I was there 20 years. So I started as a programmer and ended up as head of development. A really interesting company to work with, very innovative. It was interesting. I was listening to your podcast to see what the format was and what was going on. And in Quantel, certainly the developers were all architects. And you mentioned that in one of your podcasts. That term has almost moved to somewhere else. But it was very developer focused, almost skunk works style projects, small but really high quality people. And in 1988, quite a while ago, I became a manager there, and I really wasn't sure whether I'd like leaving programming, become a manager. I really wasn't sure, but in the end, I loved it. I really loved it. It was mainly because we got some great developers. that helps a lot, doesn't it?
Were you promoted into a manager role, or did you seek that out, or how did you end up in that position?
There was a big multi-million dollar project for NBC for the 88 Olympics, and I was put forward to project manage that, and that was a trial by fire. Because the Olympics don't slip. They always open on the day they say they're going to open. And so following that, then where I'd done less programming and more managing the client and all that sort of stuff, then I moved into management from there.
So what are you doing these days?
So I stopped programming in 88 and my wife got me back to programming in 2009. That's a 21-year gap. So it had changed just a little bit. So my wife is a lecturer in maths at Southampton University in the UK, and she specializes on geographic modeling of healthcare. And so she had some stuff that she couldn't do, and I said, well, I'll have a go at that. I loved it. I loved getting back into things. I mean, the changes for me, in 88, the internet was very small and slow, and just the amount of information, much more thought through things, lots of patterns, lots of libraries, and it really release me into that. I did some work around geographic modeling. We did a big project for HIV/AIDS in South Africa with my wife. And now I work generally on web and mobile applications using .NET.
In 88, you couldn't have possibly been doing .NET. So what were you doing then? And did you jump right into .NET when you got started back up again?
I was using Pascal, which is a very old language, not object orientated. I actually, as a manager, I was getting my team to move into C++. So, I wasn't programming that, but I knew about it. I was very involved with the technology through the people, but I certainly hadn't done any programming. And when I came back, what I needed was something to get me going quickly. And I found the Microsoft stuff at that stage had got the best documentation. And that's why I went with them. I think it's been a great decision, especially with .NET Core. I was hungry for stuff, so I was reading lots and pulling in lots of stuff.
Yeah, it certainly is an active community. So in your book, EF Core in Action, so obviously the focus is EF Core, but is there any particular part of EF Core, or is it like a kind of like a how you could use this in the real world, or what was the aim of the book?
Yeah, so I wanted to write a book that was the sort of thing I would want to read. So I don't, it has a reference section and it goes through everything in detail, but I wanted a book which dealt with the real problems that we really have in the wild, you know. So, and there's just no end of stuff that I've done using EF6, where you hit something like, you know, how on earth do you update a 24/7 application, you know, get the database updated in a way that's not going to cause problems, and performance issues, and how to quickly write code. And so the book has lots of tips and techniques. It's got three sections. It's got the start is gets you up from a very simple application up to a fairly complex layered application. Then there's a reference section. And then at the end, there's four or five chapters which are all on things like patterns, database migrations, a lot on performance, unit testing, things like that.
So this would be a good book for someone trying to learn EF Core, even if they hadn't done any Entity Framework before?
Yes, I think you'd need to know .NET. You know, you can't. It's not sort of like baby steps at the beginning, but I've heard from people that haven't used EF at all before, and they've found it useful. Some of the later chapters are pretty full on when you're delving into the services inside EF Core, but I think it does. It's got a nice progression.
I've got your book on pre-order. I was hoping that it would arrive a little early so I could dig into it before we had you on. We had Julie Lerman on the show a while ago, and she had very kind words to say about your book, having spoken with one of the editors, I think.
Yeah, one of the reviewers. Manning has a very, very strong reviewing process, which is very good. And they have external reviewers review at one third of the way through, three quarters, and when the whole book's in, and you get a lot of really good feedback from that.
So, how did the book come about? Is that, did you seek out to write a book and search for publishers, or how did that come about?
Absolutely, an email out of the blue. I was on holiday and I got this email from Manning saying, oh, we're looking for someone to write a book on EF Core. And are you interested? I go, where did that come from? So I've got very friendly with Andrew Locke, who wrote the ASP.NET Core book. And it's the same for him. They both, Manning found both of us via our blogging. And I think that's a really good thing for people to do. Get out there, start writing blogs. You'll get noticed. That's what's happened to Andrew and I. And so that's where it came from. That I did say, have you talked to Julie Lerman? And they said, yes, we have. She doesn't want to do another book. And I've just been tweeting it. She said, no, she didn't want to do another book.
Well, cool. So can you kind of speak to some of the differences between EF Core and something like EF6?
In the round, they're very similar at the top level, and someone who's used EF6 won't find it hard to go to EF Core. They'll find some niggles because it changes in some way, but it is a absolute ground up rewrite. And I don't know whether you've done this. I certainly have. You write a library, and you kind of can't really change its interfaces too much because people are using it. You can't, it's got to be careful. But when you write the absolute ground up rewrite, you can get it right. And I see that across the board. It's a much more structured, it uses dependency injection inside itself. It's got lots of services. It's very well built and it's got a consistency that goes across it. I think the other thing I would say is it's a little bit more hands-off. In EF6, it does some things which are kind of like magic in the background. And when they work, they're great. But when they get in the way, they're really difficult. One example is when you first create what's called a DB context, the major thing that you need to access the database. The first time you do that in EF6, it goes through a whole load of stuff called database initializers, and it migrates something, and maybe it does this, and it does a whole load of stuff, and it does it automatically. In EF Core, first time you create one of these DB contexts, it just creates DB context, right? It's just going to do that. If you want to migrate it, you call a method. If you want to check something, you call that in your startup code. So there's a whole load of stuff where it's just like there's no validation when you write to the database. In EF6, if you write data to the database and you've got something like required as an attribute or max length 100, it will check that before it writes it. In EF Core, it doesn't. You can add it yourself, but it assumes that most of that will be done at the front end. So it's still got lots of magic underneath it, but I think that's one of the changes I see is it's a little bit more hands-off, a little bit more, it's all there for you, but I'll only do it when you want it.
That may be one of the reasons why that you can't get away with the many-to-many joins without having a kind of the join entity.
Yeah.
Do you see that as a valuable piece? Or, I mean, to me, it seems like it's a little bit cleaner to not have to have that mapping entity, but I guess I could be convinced the other way as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's some talk about that coming back, but I don't think it's very high anywhere. That one is not strange, but what can happen is that the many-to-many, I have it in my book application. So sometimes you need that many to many has to be ordered, or you have to have some other bit of information in it. And that is a little bit more of a step when you're in EF6 because it's all hidden. You can do it, but you have to think about it. Do I think this is better? I don't think it's better that you have to build that for yourself, but I don't think it's that hard.
That's fair, I think.
Now, you also have an interesting library out in GitHub with generic services. Is that one of the libraries that you mentioned that once you put something out, can't really change the interface?
Exactly. So I have this, I'm a kind of iterative developer. I build things and find out what works, right? So I've got my rules. After every project, I review with not kind of trying to find fault or anything. I'd say what went well, what went badly, or what was repetitive. And particularly the repetitive area is one where you think, why isn't that a library? When you're building web applications, you can build a ton of what I call CRUD pages. There's just a ton of them, and they're a bit boring. And they have a very standard pattern. So I built something in for EF6 called generic services, and that has saved me so much time, months in a year, because when you're building real applications, particularly admin pages, you get just tons and tons of admin pages, set this, do that, whatever, and you just want to get through them. And so the library was there to do that. When I came to EF Core, a couple of people were asking me if I was going to rewrite it, which I wanted to. But there were two things. I'd built another library, and a few people said it's quite hard work. So I thought, I need to make these simpler. And also, I wanted to make it in EF Core, you can build what are called domain-driven design entities. You can lock them down. And my old library couldn't handle that, but my new library can. So it can work with standard entity classes. So every table in your database is mapped to a class. And that's how entity framework works. And how you build that class, you can build it like a normal class with public getters and setters and just change the properties, and entity framework will work it all out for you. Or you can lock them down. And this is Eric Evans' domain-driven design, his concepts. You lock it down because you want to be very clear about who changes the business logic and the business domain entities. And I really like that now. You can lock your entities down in EF Core much better than you could in EF 6. And I've moved over to that. And so generic services is, I hope, much easier and is also able to work with ease, both the standard way of doing classes or these more complex, I call them DDD styled entity classes.
So is the generic services project, is that just a solo effort, or do you have any other contributors out there?
I haven't got any contributors. I've got some users that I've been talking to of the old DF6. I've got another library called Generic Actions, which is all about running business logic. And I had someone in there find a bug and fix it for me. So I'm certainly up for people adding things in. But at the moment, I've put out the first version. I think it's pretty good, but I think there are areas where I want to extend it a little bit. I think it would work well in a serverless area. So I've got my eye on that. And there may be some other areas I can add to it. So I'm just really waiting for feedback, really welcome feedback on how it works.
It seems a lot of us really work in back office web-enabled applications and pretty much do the same type of work with the majority of our applications, mostly CRUD applications with a little bit of business logic sprinkled in. So how much of something like your generic services library paired with EF Core, how much of that gets you to a fully functional application?
My experience I can talk about is with my EF6 version of generic services. They both have the same end result, but they're written in a different way. But with with the EF6 version, I've used it on a lot of applications, and it really makes building CRUD pages much quicker. And I built one application where I took the AdventureWorks, one of the AdventureWorks databases, and I put a front end on it. You know, it's all about bicycles, so you can look at the customers, the orders, you can create an order, you can update an order, you can all that sort of stuff. And I built that, and I used a Telerik front end to do all the grids and stuff like that, and my generic services, and I built the whole thing in 9 days. And that for me was really, that was like, wow, yeah, this works, because that's a fairly complex database, not massive, but it's fairly complex. And then I've used it in contracts where I've worked with people, and you can just, the idea for me, the interesting things in an application are the business logic and the having great front end UI. So everything else I want really to go quickly. I want to get it done. I wrote a book about, you know, EF Core and databases, but it can be boring. I want to get it done quickly. So I'm always building libraries to try and take away any patterns where I see repetition. And I think Generic Service does that really well. I must say, I really like ASP.NET Core have now got Razor Pages. I don't know whether you've looked at those, but I think they're really good. If you're familiar with ASP.NET MVC, you can know that your controller can end up with lots and lots of what are called actions that, you know, list this, you know, edit that, delete that, etc. And they get they're kind of related, but they're all very different. Whereas Razor Pages makes each one its own little single class that just does an index or just does a delete. And that I think makes things really quick as well.
We had John Galloway on a while ago talking about Razor Pages.
Right.
And we most recently had Daniel Roth on talking about Blazor. And so there's definitely some very interesting things happening. But it seems like single page applications have been and continue to be all the rage and the preferred method of developing web applications. Put a single page application out front on top of maybe a web API backend or something like that.
Yeah.
But it sounds like with the combination of generic services and EF Core kind of automate and facilitate, remove all the mundane tasks so that you can spend a little bit more time on the more interesting stuff.
One of my, if you go to my blog, which is the reformedprogrammer.net, then I have an article on how to do AJAX calls with Razor Pages, because I think that will happen a lot. It's very easy to do. They're really neat and tight. And I think that will be a very good back end for some of the single page applications.
I suspect that as you, if we kind of move towards something like the more of the Razor Page, you know, we kind of get the opportunity to kind of pull away from the standard, like stick all your controllers in a controllers folder, and you can actually begin to organize more by feature. And so the things that are kind of related together get grouped together in the application. That makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, Steve Smith has an interesting blog post and GitHub repo on arranging MVC applications by feature as opposed to by the standard controller view model convention.
Right, but even if you can break out your controllers into like the Razor Pages, then you can even take that yet a step further to make sure that the feature is one level more granular.
Yeah, Ginny Bogart's done some stuff around this, hasn't he? He's got this thing where he moves it by feature, and he also has done the same thing with Razor Pages using Mediator. Yeah, I think that's what I like about Razor Pages. They become it's a single responsibility pattern. You know, this thing is just doing, I don't know, update of the name of the user, and it's very easy to see what it is, and it contains just that, and that makes it much easier to work on.
Before we kind of wrap up, do you have any advice kind of to those who might be trying to get started in the industry?
I think there's a lot of good stuff out there. I mean, that's what I found when I came back after a big gap. There is just the most wonderful cornucopia of information. And I read widely to try and get myself up to speed. And I found books that were appropriate for me. I like books, so I like those better than videos. So that's why I was towards writing a book. But there's a lot out there. So get out there. And my first applications when I came to working in object orientated were rubbish. You know, they were rubbish. But I got them to work and I learnt. And I think always look, you know, it's not everything I've done, it comes by doing it, reviewing it, and doing it better next time. Right? So don't beat yourself up. And if I'm halfway into a big project and I think, oh, this is not working very well, I won't change. I'll muscle it through, because you'll learn what was right at the end, but you can't just keep changing your mind. So you muscle through, but then in the end you go, ah, that was horrible. I can do that better. And I think anybody can do that. You just got to look back. Sometimes hard, you know, there's pressure on you, but and maybe your environment isn't the best for getting good feedback, but you can do it yourself. Just look at it. What went well? What went badly? What was repetitive? How can I do it better next?
Awesome. That sounds like some very sound advice. You obviously have EF Core in Action. Do we have any other books that might be coming from you? Do you have any plans there?
No, I was tweeting with Julie Lerman just yesterday, and we both got burnt out by doing these books. Doing the book was just an immense amount of work, much more than I thought. They said, oh, it's gone really well. Write another book. No. I learn by doing. So the book came, a lot of it came from my experience that I'd built up. I need to get building again. I want to start building real applications for real people and hit those problems and work around them. And I'm interested in, I think serverless has got some stuff that's going to be good. I haven't done enough there. I'm looking at that. I really like Neil Ford's book, Building Evolutionary Architectures. It's something that I've tried to do. You build something that you can make better without throwing it all away. So, yeah, no more books.
Yeah, books are a pretty big undertaking. Clayton and I just wrapped up our book on test-driven development recently. And yeah, I feel like I've aged 5 years in the last 6 months.
So what would be our listeners' best way to kind of keep in touch with you or just follow what you're doing?
My technical blog post is called thereformedprogrammer.net. And I tend to write long things. So it's not every week, but I when I write them, I try and make them very useful. I'm on Twitter, and I'm on as the Reformed Prog. So those are the two ways, best ways to keep in touch with me.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, John. We appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
Good. Thank you very much.
That was John Smith. John is a contract solutions architect with special focus on .NET and Azure. His new book, Entity Framework Core in Action, is available for pre-order from Manning Publications. And Manning was kind enough to offer a 40% discount on all Manning products to listeners of this podcast. Use the code EFCORE6FD.
If you liked this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
Find show notes, blog posts, and more at sixfiguredev.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter @sixfiguredev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others reach their potential. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.